Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to have you listening today. We're going to talk about baptism today. We're going to talk about the two baptisms, the baptism of water and the baptism of fire. And I'm going to start out here in the third chapter of Matthew. And first of all, I want to recall a scripture that I spoke last week, that we took up in our study last week from 1 Thessalonians 5:23. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:23, where Paul said of the Thessalonians, "And now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And so that is God's will for you, that you be sanctified or set aside, and set aside to do the work of God, set aside to do his will for your life, in your life, and that you be set aside whole in spirit and in soul and in body, and that you be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we think about our spirit and our soul and our body, the tripart nature of man, of ourself, that you have a spirit and a soul and a body. And I believe Paul designated those or named those parts of you in the order of their importance, because our spirit is eternal and our soul is eternal. Our body is going to be finished one of these days and it will be laid down in the grave, but our spirit and our soul are eternal, and so they go on to live with the Lord or go on to live with the devil if they've been committed to the devil. They go on to live for all eternity in the abode that we choose through our own will, through our own choice, either to reside with God or we are rejected and we are sent to hell for all eternity. Well, John the Baptist was out in the wilderness. He was along the Jordan River. He was preaching about repentance, and he was preaching about baptism, and he was preaching about righteousness and bringing forth good fruits. And the Pharisees came to him in the third chapter of Matthew. John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He was paving the way, or he was making the way for the coming of the King. He was making the way for Jesus. And he said to the Pharisees when they came to him, he said, "You brood of vipers," verse 7 in Matthew 3, "who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy," or bring forth fruits according to repentance. He was just basically telling them that you are full of sin, that you're full of righteousness that is prideful, that you think you've got everything together, but you need to get right with the Lord. You need to bring forth fruits according to repentance. In other words, your life needs to show that you are repentant, that you understand that the sin that you have has kept you and separated you away from your Creator God. And we're in the same situation, brothers and sisters. We're in the very same situation until you come to the realization that your sin has separated you from God, until you come to the realization that your sin keeps you from the righteousness of God, then you are not going to be saved. You're not going to be righteous in God's eyes. You will have, in your own eyes, you will not have any need for a Savior. And when you come to the point where you understand your sin has kept you away from God and separated you from God, then you come to the understanding of your need for a Savior. You come to an understanding that by your own effort, your own will, your own righteousness, your own good deeds, your own being a good person, you can't come to a reconciliation with your Creator through your own effort. It has to come through Jesus Christ and his blood that he shed on the cross. It has to come through him, and you have then a knowledge and an understanding and a piercing of your spirit that you are in need of a Savior. And then John goes on to say here in verse 11, speaking of water baptism, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance," or for the remission of sins, as it was spoken by Peter in Acts 2:38, he said, "Repent and be baptized, and you will receive the remission," or the rolling back, or the turning away of sins, or the covering of sins. repent and be baptized, and you will for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's what Peter spoke on that day of Pentecost, or when the Jews came, and there was this huge crowd out there at Pentecost in the second chapter of Acts, Acts 2:38. He said, you need to repent and be baptized, because they asked him, what must we do to be saved? Well, first it happens in the heart. And John goes back in verse 11 in Matthew 3, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me, he was speaking of Jesus Christ here, he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to untie or to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And so there's the scripture right there that speaks of the two baptisms. It speaks of the baptism of water for the remission of sins, as you repent of your sins and you come to the recognition that you are a sinful person, that you cannot come back or you cannot be reconciled to your Creator until that point in time when you understand that your sins need a payment, that your sins have to be paid for. There has to be a ransom or a propitiation, a payment for your sins. And so when you come to that point where you understand that, then baptism represents that fact. It shows that fact to the world that something has changed in your heart, that you have repented in your heart, that you have changed and turned from your wicked ways, that you have a desire then to seek the Lord. You have a desire to fulfill righteousness in your life through your association, through the payment, the blood payment that Jesus Christ paid for you on the cross. And John again says, I'm not worthy to untie the sandals of this man. He is mightier than I. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And his winnowing fan is in his hand, or his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out or cleanse his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Well, God is coming, Jesus is coming back, and he is going to gather up the wheat. He's going to gather up that good grain. Or if you are to die today, if you're the good grain, if you're that heavy grain, and you've been separated from the chaff, you're going to go and you're going to reside with Jesus Christ in heaven for all eternity. And so John was saying that he's going to clean out his threshing floor. He's going to cleanse every single person. He's going to take every single kernel of grain that is worthy of him. He's going to cleanse the chaff, and he's going to burn it up, just like when we move a combine through the field, a reaper through the field, the chaff goes out the back, and the straw goes out the back, and all that is blown out onto the field. But that good heavy grain goes into that return auger, and into that auger, the bin auger, and it goes up and it deposits that grain into the bin, and it is put in a silo, and it is kept for food. Well, that's a picture of the salvation experience. That's a picture of Jesus Christ coming into our life, the Holy Spirit convicting us of our sin. That's a picture of the Holy Spirit convicting us and bringing us to a place of repentance. And then that chaff is burned out of our life, that straw is burned out, and so we then are put into the silo, and we are the fruit of the harvest. We are the result of the Holy Spirit's convicting power in our life. Well, our spirit, back to that tripart nature of man, our spirit is set aside for Jesus Christ. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, Romans 10:13, for whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved, or you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth one confesses unto salvation. So your heart is pierced. The Holy Spirit of God pierces your heart, and the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God pierces your heart, and it convicts you or convinces you of your sin. And then you need to turn to Jesus. You turn to him because you understand that through him is salvation, through him is reconciliation, through him is sanctification. And so your spirit, when you make that confession, your spirit then is set aside and sanctified for the kingdom of God. You follow that up with water baptism to identify yourself with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as you go down in the water, it symbolizes your death. Your old man is died to sin, and your new man then is raised up in newness of life, just as Jesus went into the tomb. He died, he shed his blood on the cross, he went into the tomb, the old man died, and up out of that tomb came the resurrected man, the new man, which when we come up out of the water, that resurrected man, that new man, then represents the new life in us, the new life living in us, the new life being expressed in us to the world, that something dramatic has happened in our life, that something unusual and remarkable has happened in our life. And Romans 6:3 talks about that water baptism, the symbolism of it. And Romans 6:3 says, "Do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death?" Verse 4, "Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life." And so as you think about your life in relation to sin, your sinful dead man, when you become convicted of your sin, that sinful dead man, it needs cleaning, it needs cleansing. And so the symbolism of the water of baptism going over you in complete immersion, that symbolism is that you're washed clean, that you are washed free of your sinful dead body. It's just like, taking a shower, only this is a shower, the cleansing of your spirit man, the cleansing of all that dead sin that is in your spirit and in your soul. And when you come up out of the waters of baptism, then you are cleansed, you are washed clean. The dead man is down in the water, the dead man is washed away. But the clean man, the new man, the man who is dedicated in his spirit, and his spirit then has been set aside to walk in newness of life, that new man then rises up out of the water, and it is identified with the resurrection of Jesus Christ as he came out of the tomb, as his body came up out of that tomb to walk his resurrection body, to walk in newness of life. So too shall you and can you walk in newness of life. Romans 6:5, "For we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slave to sin." And so, brother and sister, I ask you today, if you are a believer, are you a slave to sin still? Have you changed? Is there any change in your life as a believer? Do you see yourself in the same way that you saw yourself before you became a believer? If you are truly saved, there should be something in your life that says, "I am changed. There is a difference in my life. There is an outward shine. There is an outward remarkable difference in my life." When you look at my life, you know something has happened to me that is different and unusual. Well, then as we consider the fire baptism, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, John said he will baptize you with Holy Spirit and with fire. Luke said the same thing in the third chapter of Luke. And so we have two or more witnesses to this baptism of fire. And here we see in Acts, turn over in your Bible to Acts, the first chapter. Acts 4, "Being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them," talking of the disciples here, "Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for what the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me.' For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And so Jesus spoke to the disciples. He reiterated what John had spoken back there in the third chapter of Matthew. He says, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's coming. It's coming soon, not many days from now. They didn't know, the disciples, exactly when it was going to come. But he just said, wait for the promise. Wait for what the Father has promised you, because it's coming, and it's coming soon. Well, had you been in that place and you knew that Pentecost was coming, you might have guessed possibly that it was coming at Pentecost, but they had no way to know. He just said, it is coming not many days from now. And so they waited. And in Acts 1:8, Jesus said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. He didn't say it's coming at 10 o'clock in the morning on the day of Pentecost. He just said, you wait. It's not for you to know all these things, every detail of the Father's planning and the Father's timing and his seasons and his epics. It is not for you to know that. But he said, wait, for you shall receive power, Acts 1:8. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. And so as they were instructed to wait, he said, two things are going to happen to you. You are going to receive power, and you will be my witness. In other words, he linked those two things together. You need power. You need power to deal with the enemy of your soul. You need power to go out there and witness for the kingdom of God. And you need power, and you're going to receive it when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Well, brother and sister, if you have not received that baptism of fire, if you have not received that baptism of power that comes when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, I pray that you pray about it right now, that you open up your heart and you open up your mind to receive. This is God's will for you today, this day, that you receive that baptism of fire. I know many of you out there listening today have been water baptized, and you have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, but the baptism of fire that comes with the power, the dunamis, that Greek word dunamis, that power that comes, when you receive that, you will know it will be a different attitude in your life. You'll have a difference. You'll have that fire. You'll have that power that comes. You'll want to witness. Nothing will be able to stop you from witnessing. And when that power comes, you will not be able to sit still. You will not be able to just be a Sunday morning only Christian. You'll have to get out there and spread the word. You'll have to get out there and do something with it. And you'll have to do something that brings glory and honor to Jesus Christ and to the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Well, turn over to the second chapter of Acts. We know this is where it came. This is where the power was poured out. That fire was poured out. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all together in one accord in that place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting, and then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each one of them. Each one of them had a tongue of fire sitting on them. Each one tongue of fire for every person that was in that place. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Well, I don't believe that was a one-time only event. It was a historical event, I grant you that, but it was not just for that day. It's for today. It's for right now. God wants you to receive the baptism of fire, that baptism of the Holy Spirit today. He wants you to receive it just like they received it on the day of Pentecost. God wants you to have your own personal day and moment of Pentecost. And I just pray right now, if you would just close your eyes, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray that you will receive today the baptism of fire. Just open your hands as if to receive a great and precious gift, and open up your heart. Don't bring up any intellectual arguments against it. Don't bring up any prideful arguments against it. Just open up and receive. And Father, I ask you right now in Jesus' name, through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit coming across through my voice in the airwaves here today, I pray, Lord, that you baptize each and every person out there listening today with fire, that they would receive your fire in their life, Lord, that they would know when they have been hit with this fire, that they would begin to speak with other tongues, that they would know that you are who you say you are, that the power and presence of the Holy Spirit would allow them and propel them to be your witness with power, to be your witness with power in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. And Lord, I just pray you show them where you want to have them be your witness. Each and every person, you have a different place for them to be a witness. And I just pray right now in Jesus' name, they would have that power, that you would baptize them with fire, that that fire would burn out the chaff in their life, burn out the excuses, burn out the procrastination, burn out anything that raises itself up against the knowledge of you in their life. I pray right now in Jesus' name that they would receive that fire, that they would receive that fire. Loosen them the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. And I say in Jesus' name that it shall be done, that they shall be loosed to go and witness for your kingdom with power, that they will no longer be silent, that they will no longer be ashamed of the gospel. Loosen them the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for this, Father. We thank you for this, Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit. And we pray it all in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, I thank you today. I pray if you received that power, if you received that fire, if you received that baptism, Lord, I pray that they would let me know, pureprairie@hotmail.com. Let me know. We want to gather with you and rejoice with you that you are now a mighty witness, filled with the fire of the Holy Spirit, filled with that baptism of the Holy Spirit, and a mighty witness to the kingdom of God all across the earth. Well, we thank you for listening today. God bless you. Have a great week. Tune in again next week.